Turn my music high, 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 high. Yeah.
You don't know what you're doing.
Sure I do. I'm from the streets with a hood to swallow on me. Bullets to follow on me.
Hey everybody, it's October 28th, 2020, which means it's the day after I did my first ever stand-up comedy set at Yuck Yucks for the, the Top View Comic, the competition. It's called Calgary's Next Top View Comic, Amateur Comedians. It's like a contest, so it's really kind of a big deal for me, and there's just so much around it, surrounding it, that I just think it's just so fascinating that's going on, and I just wanted to talk about it because as great as it is for me to, step into this competition, not only to compete, but like to do something that I've wanted to do my whole life, I've talked about as a little kid, being on stage, making people laugh. It's really kind of a dream come true. It's a childhood dream come true just to be on the stage, and I did it yesterday. And as amazing as it is to do that, that's not it. Like, there's just so much more to this. There's just so many layers to this, and it plays into everything that I'm doing right now. As much as it seems like it's just some random thing, as in, like, when you look at it in the context of, like, my professional pursuits, my entrepreneurial endeavors, my growth as a person, like, you could see it as just like a side thing that it just doesn't fit in the picture, but it is just such, I don't know if it's the right word, but like a microcosm. It's such a good example. There's just so much to it that explains a lot that's going on with like mindset and growth, and it's just really bringing so many interesting things to light. So I just want to talk about it, and thank you for tuning in again, listening. I don't have like a really great plan for this episode. I am just going to kind of fly by the seat of my pants. I'm in my secondary podcast studio, which means I'm in my car. I don't have the baby with me. And I'm a little cold right now because it's a little cold, but I'm trying to, just kind of fit this in. As much as I love podcasting, I knew if I didn't do it, I wasn't going to devote time to it this week because it's just a bit of a busy week, and then you know how that goes. It's just going to get away from me, and I really just wanted to tell this piece of the story because I think it's just okay. So I'm just going to stop telling you how great it is and just tell you. So in learning about mindset and studying myself, in what I've been studying about the subconscious mind, how we're all programmed, doing this thinking into results program through the Mindset Masters, the Matrix Mindset Academy, working with, by the way, the mentors, the leaders of that group, Brian and Madison Dumas. So they, they learn from Bob Proctor, if you know that name. This was a new, like, it was a brand new experience for me. So how they describe it is when you like push out old paradigms, replace them with new ones, as you basically reprogram yourself, your subconscious mind is going to be very uncomfortable. And how your subconscious mind is programmed is to keep you safe. It's to keep you comfortable. So as much as you consciously may want to do something, or you're maybe telling yourself you believe in something, there's going to be like this chaos going on inside of you. And that chaos often leads to people staying in their safe zone, even though they say they want to be outside of that, comfort zone. And that was very much happening for me with this. There was a while where I think I just forgot about it. It was like 2 months between when I signed up for the competition and when I actually performed. And in those 2 months, I did some work, but very little. And it didn't even feel real. It felt like it was on the horizon. And suddenly it was middle of October and I had basically done nothing. So I wrote my set. I started working on the set the week before. I sat down with my brother and my wife and I told them like some jokes, and I told them, my set, here's how I wanted my set to be, and here's the message I wanted to send, but it's not really working. the framework is falling apart because the jokes don't really fit. And they knew, they could tell that I was being overly analytical about it without getting too detailed. That set basically went out the window when it was all said and done. Like, the set that I actually performed was much more, like, along to their advice. Like, I had more fun with it. I just went up there and tried to make people laugh. As much as it did accomplish some of the things that I wanted it to, it was just a lot more easy and fun. And that's just not how my brain works. So take that as also a message of, like, that my brain has been rewired in some ways. I'm pushing my brain to function differently than it has recently. Being less analytical, just kind of rolling with things, having fun. But I tell you that because a week before the set was the first time I really started, like, digging my fingers into it. And I talked to another friend about it over the weekend. And the day before, you know, like 24 to like 36 hours before, I still had basically no set. And I wrote it the night before. So 24 hours before, I sat down with my computer on my bed, and in about 45 minutes, the set was done. And it was just, that to me was just such a good example of choosing to have faith, knowing that I was going to do this, because there was a thought that crossed my mind, and it was, man, you have nothing. This is tomorrow. You're fucked. Just back up. Just email the guy and say that you're not gonna perform. Even though you just confirmed like 2 days before, just tell him like you're not gonna do this. You're too screwed. Like, you don't have enough time to prepare. And then I was like, no, that is being fearful. That would be choosing to be worried about it. And I've come to realize that you can actually choose to have faith and not be fearful and worried. So I chose to have faith in myself, by the way, that, you know what, this is going to work out. I'm going to be able to do this. It is going to come together. Just take a breath and let it flow from you. This is something that you love. And by the way, this is something else that my brother and my wife told me, like, have fun. Like, this was supposed to be fun. Like, you don't realize what you, it seems like you don't realize what you're doing. So it flowed, and I did it, and wouldn't you know it, it all came together the day before, and, you know, I studied and memorized it over the course of the next 24 hours. But that brings me to the next point, which was about having fun. And it became very clear that I, you know, had made something of a childhood dream and something amazing and so fun and exciting into a task, into a work, like the equivalent of a work task. And it just kind of destroyed it because it wasn't fun anymore. And I was stressing. And after they told me that, I was like, oh man, it's so true. I kind of realized what I was doing. And, you know, that's another thing that I took away from this was how we perceive things and how I was perceiving something. Like, I thought it was going to be the best thing ever. Like, the coolest thing ever to make my dreams come true. It's going to be so cool when I first signed up. And then as it got closer and closer, you know, I already told you, like, I didn't do anything about it. I was putting it off. I was procrastinating. I was treating it like a task. And it's like, no, man, like, just have some fun with it. Like, let it flow from you. Like, this is supposed to be easy. And I hate to use the word supposed to in this context, but, like, I needed to have fun, and I did. And that's what made it work. I performed that set, and the judges were amazed that it was my first time on stage ever as a stand-up comedian, because I fucking smashed it, by the way. If you don't know the story already, I was one of seven comedians that evening. They're all amateurs. You can't be a paid performer. Two of the people advance in the competition to the next round. One is from like an audience vote winner, and one is from a judge's vote winner. And I was the judge's vote winner, which, say what you want about it, but I was surprised, but very flattered. That's an awesome one to win, because those are professional comedians that are voting for me, basically, out of everybody that was performing. And I will read the asterisks on that, which is that I think three at least of the comedians that evening were like god awful. And like, I hate to use those words, but like, in the context of stand-up comedy in that evening, like, unstructured, not very well delivered, jokes didn't, like, come together very well. Not really my criticisms. This is kind of, like, the judges that were... ended up started making jokes about this and how the evening actually went. I heard it, like, three times. Like, this is a very abnormal evening. They were, like, talking to the audience when they were giving critiques. Like, this is a very abnormal evening. So, whatever. That's the asterisk. Take it as you please. But I will not take away from my own accomplishment of, you know, what it was. And by the way, I did have a great time up on that stage. But I digress. The original point that I was trying to make was that the judges were amazed that it was my first time being on stage as a stand-up comedian. And one of the guys actually commented that, well, it looks like you found what you're supposed to be doing in life. And I was like, wow, like, I've kind of felt like that for a while. Like, what is it that I would love to be doing with my life? If I could die having said I made a career out of something, like, what would it be? Like, pick anything. Like, just use your imagination. Like, I would love to be on stage making people laugh and inspiring people, educating people all at the same time. And I love the spotlight. Like, I'm pretty good at being on stage. Like, it's not that hard for me. It doesn't stress me out the way it stresses other people. Like, this is another indication that I kind of just wanted to talk about. Like, when people talk about the word, like, self-awareness, the term self-awareness, I don't think they even fully understand, or I definitely have seen it used in different contexts, but it's very easy to misunderstand. I don't need to get all philosophical. Why am I getting philosophical about this shit? I don't need to. With a little bit of self-awareness, it helps me to understand that that is a strength, and it's something that I do naturally and easily, and that can't be ignored. And I always kind of thought, like, yeah, I could do that, you know, with less effort than other people. And I guess my point is just, we often don't pay attention to those types of things. Things that seem easy to us. Things that come to us naturally. And I wouldn't say that I ignored that for a while, but I definitely think that pushing past that fear of, you know, fucking up or being on stage or just doing it, taking a chance. I mean, I don't know what the end of that sentence is. I think you know what I'm getting at here, though, right? Because the next thing is about... next thing was about expectations, and specifically about other people's expectations of us. And I remember so clearly, and I've said this to myself a few times, many times. I was watching an interview of Jay-Z on CNN, which I thought was one of the most crazily badly interviewed interviews I've ever seen. But it's still Jay-Z. And what Jay-Z said was, at one point, about reinventing himself. And he said this phrase that I just has stuck in my head ever since. He said, "Can you get out from up under yourself?" And, I mean, I'm not Jay-Z. I'm not going to live by this. Okay, whatever. Can you get out from up under yourself? And basically what he meant was, can you get out from the shadows of who other people expect you to be? And he fully understands this concept because he's had to do it. And I loved it, and it resonated with me so much because I feel like I have taken too much to other people's expectations of me in different situations and contexts and times of my life. And this definitely felt like one of them that I felt like I just had to push over and I just had to close my eyes and just do. People don't expect me to be a stand-up comedian. People don't expect engineers to be stand-up comedians or entrepreneurs. People don't look at, like, a LinkedIn resume or a LinkedIn profile. They don't want to see something like, oh, this guy does stand-up comedy in his spare time. He seems very professional. Like, that's all, that's like some of the things that I mean about expectations, but I also mean about like the people around you, your very immediate close circle. Like, it almost became difficult for me to like talk to the people very close to me about my dreams, because they're my dreams and they have no, they can't be the ones to push them to come to fruition. Like, I had to push this into fruition. As much as everybody has encouraged me, and the people, there are people close to me who have actually pushed me to do this in the past. And despite their encouragement, like almost begging and pleading me to just try it, it was never going to happen unless I made it happen. And so I finally decided to make it happen. So despite those people, which, by the way, people like that can also really get in your head and fuck you up because they have high expectations for you. But put that one aside as well. But people who get to know you really well expect you to be a certain way. People expect you to be the type of employee that you've always been, the type of brother that you've always been, the type of father, the type of husband. And it can be very difficult to push yourself to grow because people are relying on you to be the person that you've always been. And sometimes that's a very good thing. And sometimes that's a very bad thing. Just like everything, there's always good and bad. And I shouldn't even use those terms because, I mean, I'm trying to learn that, or I'm trying to implement that there is no such thing as good and bad. There just is. It's all about your perception of what it is. So the words good and bad are relative. And if you see something as bad today, you might actually realize that it was, like, in 5 years, you might turn around and say, that was really good. So the only difference then is time. So it's, that's all I mean when I say it's a matter of perspective. But I could feel myself letting go of those expectations. I knew that I had to put conscious effort into letting go of those expectations. And I knew I had a choice to perceive these situations a certain way. So I chose to just say, my desire here is more important than other people's expectation. And I chose to say, this is very important to me. It is something I'm going to do. And I had to, you know, push myself to say and to execute on, you know what? I have to be fully myself in this situation and not write a set according to what people think I should talk about or I'm going to talk about. It has to come authentically from me. And to actually have it come authentically from me, those are the types of things that I really had to pay attention to, be aware of, and be conscious of. Because it was really important to me to, like, I knew that it was important just in general to be as authentic as possible. And it was going to, that's what was going to bring the best out of me. And, you know, getting out from up under myself was absolutely essential in this situation. So that's another point that I definitely wanted to make. And I think finally, I can't help but say it, but man, it feels fucking good to have that in the books. And it feels really fucking good to have a win. Like, it still feels like a dream, to be honest with you. I have not watched the recording yet. I don't know when I'm going to, probably soon. But last night we came home and I was sitting on the couch and I looked at Chaisa and I just kind of said to her, like, look, this is so normal, isn't it? Like, we were, you know, drinking chai and just kind of unwinding. And I was like, this is normal. Like, what happened a few hours ago is not normal. It just seems so surreal and it felt so surreal. And it still does. But it feels so fucking good. Like, I got to tell you, like, how high the vibes are from that. I can really feel it becoming, like, translating into momentum, not only because I checked something off the bucket list and did something I always wanted to do, but to get that win, especially like going in without expectation of winning, to get that win felt so good. And if you're listening to this podcast in 2020 and you know about my journey, you know how things have been. And as much as I can say that I've adjusted and learned to adjust my perspective to appreciate things that didn't used to seem like good things and appreciate them to be good things, like the roof that I have over my head, like the life that I have, the health that I have, things that I, you know, used to take for granted and I couldn't extract the beauty from and to be grateful for it because I was depressed and upset about other things that overpowered it. As much as you absolutely can adjust your perspective to see those things as good and to make yourself feel like you got wins that day, sometimes wins being wins, having wins that are wins, feels really good. And it seems like it's been a while since I've had one and been able to string together a couple, and something tells me I'm about to string together a whole bunch of them, and this one feels really fucking good. Thank you for listening to this. I hope it serves you and helps you extract some value. I wish you nothing but the best, and I hope that you can go make your dreams come true as well, just like I did.